Or maybe we even blame him for our current circumstance. Instead, Isaac perseveres, moves on a little bit further, chooses another spot, digs another well, and finally, this time, the Philistines leave him alone. Could be that they've just given up on harassing Isaac because of his persistence. Maybe God stepped in. Isaac names this well Rehoboth, which means room, and he explains why in verse 22b. Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. This verse has a strong connection to the ministry I believe in and work for. It's the spiritual foundation for Rehoboth Christian Ministries and Camp Rehoboth, where I work. Their mission statement is as follows. Rehoboth conveys God's love to persons with disabilities and their families by making room for them and enabling them to flourish. Rehoboth has made room across Alberta, allowing people the opportunity to live a full life. It's what Isaac wanted for his family, too. A new place and an opportunity for them to find room and flourish. Right after this experience, God appears to Isaac and reconfirms the promise he had given to Abraham, his father, to bless him and multiply his descendants. So now we're going to fast forward to the New Testament, where we take a look at someone else who had an experience at a well. This one's a bit of a longer passage, but it's just a fantastic story that's so full of applications. John 4, verses 7 to 29. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar behind, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" So we meet a Samaritan woman coming to the well in the middle of the day looking to get some water. What she receives changes her life forever. First off, she's a Samaritan and Jesus is a Jew. These two groups avoided each other as much as possible during Jesus' time. Second, she's there in the middle of the day. Usually women came to the well first thing in the morning to avoid the heat of the day. So why does she come at noon? Is she trying to avoid the other women in the community? I don't have the answer to that question, but Jesus gives the answer to the ultimate question. What is she searching for? In the short term, it's easy to say the Samaritan woman is looking for water. She comes to the well like she probably does every day, getting water for the people and the animals in her care. Jesus asks her for a drink, and it gives him the opportunity to share the gospel with her. At first, she declines because of the different ethnic backgrounds they have. But Jesus breaks that barrier by talking about living water, which is what she's really looking for. In verse 15, she misunderstands Jesus, thinking that he can provide her with a never-ending well of water for her physical needs. Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. She's currently digging a well in her own life that is not producing any fresh living water. Jesus confronts her with this in verses 16 to 18. Let's go back a verse. He told her, go and call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. Fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. She's digging a well in relationships. Five husbands. And the man she's currently with is not her husband either. Jesus knows all of this, but we don't hear him giving her words of condemnation, just the promise of living water and the opportunity to begin digging a well that will produce a spring of water welling up to eternal life. As we continue on in the story, the woman believes that Jesus is who he claims to be and tells the surrounding area all about this encounter. But our focus for today is going to remain at the well. Now, this is not the first example in Scripture where people were digging wells in the wrong places. And I want to thank Pastor Leon for bringing that passage in Jeremiah forward. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Even though God and his word was supposed to be the source of life for the people of Israel after they came to the new land, before long, they started looking to idols of their neighbors as their source of hope. They started digging their wells in the wrong places, and it led to a lot of trouble for them. Even spiritual sickness and death. Kind of reminds me, and it even started this year again, of the time I committed to reading the Bible in a year. I tried podcasts last year, and it didn't work. You just get busy. Or maybe you promise that the first thing you're going to do each morning is get up early and do devotions and prayer, only to falter when we allow daily life to get in the way. Here's a question I really have. I wonder where you are digging your wells these days. Maybe it's the pursuit of money, possessions, wanting bigger, better, the latest and the greatest, peer groups, the people that you want to hang out with, sports accomplishments. Maybe it's academics you're chasing. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's video games. Maybe it's relationships with friends, parents, boyfriends, girlfriends, spouses, coworkers. Take a close look at your life to see where you're putting a lot of effort into. Now, before we go too much further, I also have a well that I struggle with. For me, one of the wells that I'm currently digging is triathloning. I work hard to see how fast I can swim, bike, and run compared to people around me and see if I can get better and faster each year. Early on in my career, it was all about getting a better bike or the more expensive shoes, and it was something I was chasing. It takes a lot of time, money, and effort, but really, does it get me anywhere? I always joke that I go as hard as I can for 6, 12, maybe 14 hours, and I just end up back where I started. If you think about it, if those of you who do any athletics, even a basketball game, where do you end up again? Back at your bench at the end of the game. It's easy to argue yes about my triathloning or sports or anything else that you're doing, that maybe it's a great way to stay in physical shape. It's allowed me to make new friends and encourage other people to try something new or go after their goals. It's also given our family new places to explore with our friends and maybe vacation to. It gives me a degree of satisfaction and fulfillment every time I finish a race. The struggle is that it is a well that does provide refreshment for me, but it's not the living water that I need. I need to make sure that it doesn't consume me, that it's only part of my life, and it doesn't define who I primarily am, a child of God. It's my side of the story. It's not God's. God's side of the story is that I'm digging in the wrong place. And if you do take an honest look at your own life, I'm sure you may find the same thing. Well, where should we dig? Like the woman at the well, we're all searching for a place to flourish, a place to have room to grow and become the person that God wants you to be. Whether you're young or old, you will encounter multiple obstacles on the road towards your well, your promise. When you work hard on wells like Esek and Sitna, and they don't work out, it drains the life out of you instead of providing any refreshing water. The water is bitter, and there are hard places where we're most tempted to quit. Is it going to be easy? No. The herdsmen of Gerar in our original story back in Genesis kept opposing Isaac every time he dug a well. People in your life might provide opposition as you dig a well, but keep digging. You're going to find a place to flourish. So now we're going to go back to our passage in Genesis, in John 4. This is where we and the woman at the well hear and learn that Jesus is the living water. Maybe it's the first, or maybe it's the 100th time you've heard this story, but it can create a turning point in our lives like it did for the woman at the well. If your relationship is with Jesus, it's pretty solid. Something I ask my kids all the time. How are you and Jesus? We're pretty cool. We're pretty chill. We're pretty solid. Good. Maybe it's time to dig a little deeper so you can provide that living water for somebody else who might be thirsty. Maybe you need to dig deeper because the well is starting to dry up. Maybe the wells you've been digging haven't produced any water yet, and maybe it's time to abandon them and dig a well in the right place. Our story continues with the woman at the well starting to wonder if Jesus really is the Messiah. At least, she's convinced enough to gather her neighbors around to hear this man who told me everything I ever did. In other words, she's beginning to dig her well in the right place, in Jesus, the source of living water. Maybe you're not quite convinced yet. I chose not to read another part of John 4 because I didn't want to give away the surprise ending too early. In verses 39 to 42, we read, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. When the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" So one more time, I'm going to come back to him, and I want to ask, where are you digging your wells? Wherever it is, I invite you to turn away from the broken cisterns we read about in Jeremiah and look to the only true source of living water, Jesus Christ our Lord. Only he will give you what you need to live an abundant life now and forevermore. Only he will truly satisfy your deepest longings. Start digging your well in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for the time that we can spend maybe being refreshed, maybe being opened up, maybe just being encouraged. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together as people who are strong believers, or maybe people whose wells are starting to dry up, or maybe people who have been digging in the wrong place for a long, long time. We know, Lord, that sometimes we can find wells that provide refreshment in different things that happen in our lives, but we know deep down that we're always looking for that well of living water, that well of eternal life. Help us, Lord, maybe if we've been following you for a long time, to dig a little deeper and provide that refreshment for somebody else. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we can have that opportunity during our Alpha program, or maybe during mom's time, or maybe it's a conversation that we have on the school bus. We also ask you, Lord, to be with those who whose wells are starting to get a bit dry. And we just ask you, Lord, to help them to persevere and maybe dig a little deeper and find new refreshment again. I especially pray, Lord, for the people who are digging in the wrong place and can't find that refreshment. And we hope, Lord, that you continue to walk beside them and help them to dig that well that finds you. We ask you, Lord, to continue to walk beside us as we dig those wells, and that we look for our source of comfort in life and in death. And all God's people said, Amen.